Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I say this often, but I'll say it again. It's already good in here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. God is good. Oh, man, I serve a good God. Hallelujah. Have you all met him yet? Praise the Lord. Well, if you haven't, you can. All you got to do is just hang on. Praise the Lord. Because that's the direction we're headed. Amen. We're going after, we're after God, and that's all we want. We're after this God, you know, the God of the Bible. Praise the Lord. A lot of places talk about this God, or they kind of mention this God, but they don't really talk about the fullness of this God, and that's what we're after today. Amen. That's what I'm after every day. Every time I get in the pulpit, I just want more of God. Amen. And I hope you do too. Praise the Lord. You know, I know, this just came to me as we were, in worship and stuff, and people were vocally praising God and stuff. You know, God, that blesses God, of course. And we see that all through Scripture, that's what God wants from us. And there's a lot of people have stifled that over the years and just don't want, you know, to praise God and stuff like that. Praise the Lord. We're getting down there in Corey, hallelujah, and we're getting them stirred up. But, you know, there's a little stirring that takes place when you haven't used to doing this kind of stuff. And, you know, people sit there and they're receiving, but they've got to learn. Amen. And but, you know, the Lord reminded me during praise and worship that if Paul and Silas had kept silent, they'd still be in jail today. Well, I mean, that was a couple thousand years ago, but that's the truth. What was it that broke the chains? It was their praise. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It was their praise. And that's why we praise God, because you know what? There are going to be a lot of Christians get to heaven. They're going to be shocked. They're going to get up there and they're going to hear hooting and hollering. They're going to see people falling out in the spirit. They're going to see people dancing and running. They'll see people running. They won't come back for a couple years because they just run all over across heaven. Praise the Lord. Be like, where did he go? I don't know. He just took off on a run and he's still running. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Do you know that when one person in heaven says, praise the Lord, that all heaven stops and everybody shouts, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Think about what happened in the church if that started happening. Glory to God. It shut us down. We break noise ordinances. Glory. Whew. Glory. Hallelujah. It's talking about the goodness of God. Amen. Well, today we're going to be talking about, I got two things to say. Thank you. See, I told you. Praise the Lord. I got two things. Number one, do you know what today is? It's Ezra's birthday. Yes, that's it. Everybody, you know, praise the Lord. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. We're excited for Ezra's birthday. I wanted to give her that little shout out. But number two, this is also very important to us. Amen. Today is the fourth year anniversary on Sunday. You know, the fourth year Sunday. I'm not saying it right, but you understand what I'm saying. 4 years ago today, on this Sunday, we started this church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we started in a little hotel room, praise God, with a lot of faith. You know, we put out 75 chairs every week. People said, well, we don't got 75 people. I'm like, well, I'm believing for it. Amen. And I guarantee you, if you count in here today, you're going to see probably right about that number. Hallelujah. Because God is good. Amen. He's doing a work. Praise the Lord. He's brought, you know, when we started here, we had, just a few people in a hotel and a lot of people that didn't hear about us yet. But praise God. God's doing wonderful things. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm so excited for it. I just can't hardly get into it. I can't hardly wait to get into it. Amen. I'm already into it, amen. It's not that I can't get into it, but praise God, hallelujah. We're talking, today's message is called Stir It Up. Stir it up, amen. The Bible talks a lot about stirring it up, and we got to stir it up sometimes, amen. One of the biggest problems with Christians is they don't know how to stir it up, or they do know and they don't do it, amen. You know, praise God, you know, stirring is such an important thing. I was thinking about this morning. What do we know about stirring something? If you stir something, you usually have to stir something because it needs stirred up, needs mixed back up. Amen. But what do you know about that thing which you stirred up? After a while, it kind of settles out again, doesn't it? Some things faster than others. You know, that's one thing I hate about Italian dressing, but love about it too. It's good because when you mix it all up, it tastes really good. But instantly, it starts falling apart again, right? Because the things want to separate. But you know, that's the way Christians are too. Christians, if you don't stir it up, if you don't learn how to stir yourself up, what's going to happen is the wind's going to blow wrong and you're going to faint. Amen. There's going to be trial that comes and you're going to faint. You're going to fall down. You're not going to get up and start going again. Praise the Lord. But you know, there's more to it than just that. It's about how we come to church as well. You know, we had some really awesome things, and I can't wait to get into them today. It happened even this last week. But God wants to, God cannot stand. You know, in Revelation, I think it's 3, it talks about the church of the Laodiceans. Amen. And one of the things he rebukes them for is being lukewarm. You know, that's somebody, that lukewarm is something that was once hot and then it's cooled off. Yeah. Not that it's got cold. Jesus said, I would rather you be cold or hot. Yeah. He said, but if you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Yeah. That's exactly what he said. He said, I'm going to throw you up. Hallelujah. I want Jesus to throw us up, but you know that can happen when we don't stir up and keep that momentum going. You know, the power of God is not fickle in the sense that God's power he always intends it to be here, but we're the ones who have to access it. We're the ones who have to tap into it. It doesn't just flow automatically. How do we know that? Well, look at the world. If we could judge God by how much of the power of God is flowing in this world right now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if we could really believe in our God. I don't know if we could believe in the power of God when you look at the way America has grown. I don't know if you could really believe in God when you look at a lot of churches in America have grown. You know, a lot of these churches, they started on great revivals and outpourings of the Holy Spirit and amazing miracles of God. And today they're dead. You go into them and people are just like, people feel like funeral homes. Yeah, and we don't want to have that, amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I don't like funeral homes. No, absolutely not. And I don't want to have a church like one either. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But when we stop stirring, settling begins immediately. That's why as Christians, you know, the Bible tells us that we're to stir up the gifts of God. We're to stir it up inside of us. You know, Paul talked about stirring a lot. We need to continually stir ourselves up. Amen. And we need to do so as it pertains to the house of the Lord. Amen. Turn with me to Matthew 5:6. Praise the Lord. You guys should be well familiar with this scripture, but that's okay because it's a good scripture. Amen. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Who's going to be filled? The ones who hunger and thirst. Amen. Praise God. Not, you notice it doesn't say not the ones that hungered and thirsted, right? Not the ones who once had hunger and now don't. Not the ones who thirst, those who hunger. It's a perpetual activity, if you want to look at it that way. Amen? You can't, if you want God, if you want to be filled with righteousness, then that's basically anything that God can bring to the table. Amen? If you want to be filled with what God has for you, then you need to hunger and thirst for it. You know, every move of God, every major move is because somebody has been hungering and thirsting for it and desiring it. Amen? Praise the Lord. I wrote this down because I thought it was a good question to ask ourselves. But can you be blessed and have everything falling apart? No. Everything in your life falling apart? No, you can't, right? Could you be blessed and be sick all the time? No, you wouldn't call yourself blessed. No. What does the Bible say? It says, blessed are those. Yeah. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Yeah. Why? Because they shall be filled. It's telling us something here. We understand that it's, first of all, we understand through Scripture that it's just not God's will for us to be sick. It is not God's will for us to be defeated. It is not God's will for us to be poor. It is not God's will for us to go without. Amen. If we look at just again back to the Garden of Eden, we see God's plan and purpose for humanity right there. He told us that was His plan and purpose for humanity. And then He showed us what He did. He took Adam and Eve and put them in the most beautiful place, made them healthy, had them everything they could ever want, desire, or need was all right there, right for the pickings. Amen. There's one thing He told them not to touch. Amen. But God is always doing things. God is always doing things, but He does so according to old. He's always doing new things. Excuse me, but He does so according to old principles. God does new things, but He's the principle of the Word always never changes. It's always the same. But it's the hunger and thirst of people is what keeps that alive in our hearts. It's what keeps that stirred up. Amen. And He does this to just show us how infinite He is. Because God is, He said, I am God, I don't change. Yes, He Himself, His principles, the things He's put into play, don't change, amen? That's Malachi 3:6. He doesn't ever change. God doesn't become something that He wasn't. He doesn't go against His word. We know, according to Isaiah, that His word will accomplish what He pleases it to accomplish because it's meant to do something, amen? Praise God. Matthew 5, 6 in the Amplified. I want to read this to you here too, because I love the way it brings it out here. It says, blessed and fortunate and happy and spiritually prosperous. That's a mouthful, isn't it? That's what that word blessed means. See, a lot of people, they don't know what blessed means. A lot of Christians, they have no idea what the word blessed means. It's another religious word we say, and nobody really has any stinking clue what it means. But we need to know what blessed means. When the Bible talks about blessed, it's not something you say after someone sneezes. But that's how most people use it. Oh, bless you. They have no idea what it means. Do you know that's all superstition anyways? You know where all that all came from? They thought that demons would enter when you sneezed, and so they would say, bless you. It was all superstitious. Yeah, that's where it came from. Now, it's nice to say bless you, amen. You don't have to not say bless you to people. But you know, let's not that be the only time that we understand blessing. Let's understand the blessing of God and what it really is. Blessed and fortunate and happy and spiritually prosperous. In that state, it's not done yet. I just love the Amplified. In that state which the born-again child of God enjoys favor and salvation. Hallelujah. Enjoys favor and salvation. I said he enjoys favor and salvation. Well, it would be something if you could get a lot of churches to even talk about salvation anymore. Salvation through Jesus Christ. But then to enjoy, so what does it mean to enjoy salvation? I don't know what that means. Salvation is the life we lived after we're saved, amen? It doesn't stop when you die, it continues on. Why? Because that's just how good our God is. He's just given us a taste of eternity right now. But God wants us to walk in that. He's given us things to walk in, amen? He's given us blessing to walk in. Listen, life is not just about being blessed and what I can get, but that's where we have to start, amen? If we, as a pastor, I have to continually, for 4 years, I've been continually bringing back people back to that place just to get them to believe that God wants them blessed. Why? Because if we can do that, then we can move on to the important stuff, amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Enjoys his favor and salvation are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God, for they shall be completely satisfied. Completely satisfied. I love that the Bible uses hunger and thirst, because hunger and thirst is something we all understand. Isn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. You don't go to an all-you-can-eat buffet. You don't go there full, do you? Why not? Because it's an all-you-can-eat buffet, amen? You're not going to go to an all-you, because it'd be pointless to go to an all-you-can-eat buffet full, right? Praise the Lord. You also don't go to one when you're not hungry, do you? You're like, well, I'm not really full, but I could give or take. I don't really need anything. So you're not going to pick the all-you-can-eat buffet for $3.99 to go eat, amen? That's not what you're going to do. Why? But see, that's how people come to church. They come to church, they're full on this and they're full on that. And they don't understand what it is to hunger and thirst for God. They're full on life. And some of the things they're full on are garbage. I said, just because you're full doesn't mean you're full on something good. Amen. Praise the Lord. I can go down to, there's stores in Jamestown. You know, back in the day, it was Jones's Bakery. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anyone remember Jones's Bakery? I don't know if you guys ever got to experience Jones's Bakery up here in Mayville, but man, we did in Jamestown. And we experienced it often, amen? Praise the Lord. I could get full on donuts, amen? But they ain't gonna bless me, amen? Praise the Lord. Start looking like a donut. Start looking like a cream-filled donut. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But, it matters how we come. It matters that we come into a church from the standpoint of being hungry, amen, and thirsty. And not hungry and thirsty for natural things, but hungry and thirsty for what God is doing. I said, for what God is doing. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm trying to get into this, and I'm trying to get into the flow right now of where the message came from, but it's just kind of not going there yet. We're believing for it, too. You know, and I'm going to use this. I was going to use this example. No, I'm going to use it later on. Praise the Lord. I'll keep you hanging on. Praise the Lord. Most people look at church as an act of getting instead of an act of giving. We are to all bring our supply. When we are giving, we are creating an environment for the power of God to flow. Let me say that again. Most people look at church as an act of getting instead of an act of giving. Listen, when you first come into church, a lot of times it's because you need something, and that's fine. And there's a lot of times throughout your life that you need something, and so you do come back to church, and there's nothing wrong with that's right and good, amen? But our church life should not be spent constantly needing something. our church life, because that sooner or later we need to learn the word enough and learn how to stand on the word enough that we can be strong, we can be mature, and we can start bringing something for other people. Sometimes church is about what your neighbor needs. Sometimes church is about what everybody out there needs. Amen. I believe this wholeheartedly. God doesn't plant churches in towns haphazardly. He didn't just say, oh, finger on the map, we're going to do one in Mayville. Praise the Lord, it's not how it happened. God wants to reach people here. So we got to ask ourselves, are we reaching people here with the things that God has sent us to reach? And part of that is how we come, amen? It's how we receive, how we are, how we're ready, how hungry we are for the move of God. Praise the Lord. I was talking to my wife this morning. I was thinking about something that happened in a service years ago. And some of you may not believe me, but I'm going to just tell you, this is one of the things that got me hooked. Got me hooked on the Holy Ghost, amen? It was Dr. Dufresne. He's since gone home to be with the Lord. And we haven't seen this kind of moves, really. I haven't seen this kind of thing happen since then. But he was in the Jamestown Church, and when he was there, you know, it was after service, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost had fallen, and it was just really strong, really heavy anointing in there. And I was an usher at the time, and we closed down the sanctuary because his doctor had sat down, and he was just kind of soaking up, and the worship team was just playing music, and he was just kind of soaking. This was at the end of the service. And as the service was ending, we knew to close down the doors because there were some people who were going out to the fellowship area to fellowship and stuff like that. And then there were some people that wanted to stay in and just experience what God was doing there. Amen. And if you're not familiar with the Jamestown Church, it's kind of like the sanctuary's in the middle, and there's like hallways on the side, and then there's classrooms on the side and the offices and stuff. And then there's a narthex in the front. And so I was in the back, and he decided, he got up, he was going to start exiting out the front door, and he was going to come down the hallway where the office was. And so I knew, I knew to just run out. I just led by the Lord, but I ran out, and I was going to go get the door, because that's what I did. I was a door getter. Amen. Praise the Lord for door getters. I don't have anything against door getters. I'm all about door getters. Kids, you need to learn how to be a door getter. Amen. What I mean by that is, if you're young and you see somebody older going through the door, you be a door getter. That's your job. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. There's nothing I can't stand more than to watch a kid walk through a door and then watch it slam in an adult's face. Kids like that need to be, first of all, they need to be parented better. Their parents need to be smacked in the head, and then, you know, praise the Lord. Well, that's the truth. Yeah. If you get after, listen, that's just the way that it is. I remember standing at Hills, like my family was, you remember Hills Department Store, right? I'm not talking about the Hills like in the mountainside. I was standing at Hills. I was holding the door just like this. This is the way I was raised, amen? There's nothing wrong with holding the door. You're like, you're not first, amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Because a lot of those kids become adults, and then they want everything first for themselves. Yeah. See, God, Jesus was all about making people second. Yeah. Or saying you wait, or you let other people go first is what I mean, amen? He lifted us up, obviously, but well, praise God, hallelujah, that's free, no charge. But at any rate, I was a door getter, so I was going to get it. I was blessed being a door getter. I'm just going to tell you. Because when you do something with joy, when God gives you a task and you're just like, I'm going to do this with joy, praise the Lord, God will bless you for it. Amen? So at any rate, and I'm getting to the blessing, amen? So at any rate, I look down the hallway as I'm going to get the door to pastor's office there, and I see doctor walking down, and he's just kind of wobbly a little bit, you know. The Holy Ghost, he comes on you, praise the Lord. Bible says don't be drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why do you think the Bible uses praise God? Why do you think he uses, I don't, why are we getting on this? You take me down this, who did it? Hallelujah. Wait, right. So I'm seeing, and I've never experienced anything like this before. I mean, this is a little bit goofy to me, you know, but I'm liking it. Hallelujah. Because you know what? When Jesus shows up, it may be different than what you're used to, but you're going to like it. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's always good. I've never walked away from being hooched in the Holy Ghost and been sad yet. Praise the Lord. Never been hung over. Never felt like, oh, praise the Lord. People don't know why. A lot of people in my past, they don't understand why I jumped in so good. Because it got good, man. It got good quick. I just stayed in the water. Hallelujah. I didn't want to get out. But at any rate, so I'm walking down, and I see, you know, there's my pastor, my pastor's pastor is walking with him, trying to help him down the hallway. And they're like, they're literally falling off to the sides as they're walking. And see, the power of God, you don't understand. Praise God. I hope I'm not scaring anybody yet. But I'm trying to stir you. Hallelujah. So at any rate, so they're falling off left and right. And I'm like, what is this? I don't know. I mean, I've never understood. So I'm just like, so I go get the door, amen? And I stand in the doorway, real still like, you know, and just waiting. Because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't understand what's happening. So I'm standing there in the doorway. And doctor comes in slowly. And as he walks by me, he looks up to me like this and lays his right hand on my right shoulder. And as he did that, right after, it was like if you've ever been on a highway when a semi has come past and that wind has just come after it's like a second or two after, it's just like whoosh, like that. And that happened to me. And this is the people witness this stuff, amen? All of a sudden, I come shooting, I come flying, backflip out of that office. I ain't joking. Flip and land on the concrete, amen? And I start sizzling on the floor like bacon under the power of God. There's other people just laying out. And everybody that went out of church early, you know, they had somewhere better to be. They're standing out there going, what's happening over here? I don't understand. Pastors are laying out on the floor. One pastor's up dancing, hallelujah, and holy. See, when the power of God comes on you, things change, hallelujah. It blesses you. It frees you, praise the Lord. I'm trying to stir you on something. Well, anyways, the reason I tell you that story is because I said to my wife, I said, I don't want to be one of those people that talk about the days gone by when that stuff happened. I want it to be happening now, amen. You see, God wants to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. How do we know this? The Bible tells us so. He tells us that in the last days, he'll pour out his spirit on all flesh, praise the Lord. When you look throughout the Old Testament and the priests, when the spirit of God entered into the temple, that the priests couldn't even minister. They would fall out under the power of God. This stuff is real, folks. I want to be full of it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may say, well, Pastor Jeff, you're already full of it, but praise God. Those who are willing to go with me, they'll come with me. Amen? And we're going to see it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Most people, but see, this stuff doesn't flow. That's why I was telling this story. That stuff comes when people are hungry and thirsty for God and what he's doing and not just there. Listen, come in and get what you need. I'm not saying don't come to church and get, please come to church and get what you need. But don't stay there. Don't stay in that place. Oh, I came and got what I need, so now you split. No, come back in. Say, now I'm hungry for more. Listen, testimonies were never meant. Testimonies were never, we're going to see, I got to get into scripture here. Praise the Lord. Testimonies were never meant to just so we could just have a testimony and leave it. It was meant so we could stir more testimonies. God wants us full. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are, when we are giving, and I'm just talking about giving money financially. Yes, that can be part of it, but a small part of it. I'm talking about giving, when we are giving of ourselves, when we are giving spiritually, hallelujah. When we are giving, we are creating an environment for the power of God to flow, hallelujah. Just look at it here, up here, you can write it down, read it later. Acts 20:35. I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Does anyone know what John 3:16 says? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. You can break it down like this. God so loved that he gave. God so loved that he gave. That's what he did. Because we know Romans 8:32 that tells us if he gave us Jesus, he would also with him give us all things. And so if he says that, we understand that he was giving us Jesus as it was to do something, but it was also symbolic of something else. And that's that if he was willing to go that far, there was no length he wouldn't go to for us. If he was willing to take it that far, there was no length he wouldn't go to get to us. Amen? God so loved that he gave. He didn't take what was his. God didn't say, I'm going to just do what I want to do. God could have come on earth and done anything that he wanted to. But he didn't. He gave. When he came to earth, he became like a man. Do you know what it's like when God, who created everything, has every ability in his power? He can create worlds at the very just mention of it. He just shouts out a word nobody's ever heard it before, and all of a sudden something appears. That's our God. Praise the Lord. He doesn't need you to do anything. Do you understand what I'm saying? He didn't consult you when he made the earth. He didn't consult you when he put the boundaries on the earth. He didn't consult you when he invented gravity. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing how some scientists, they think they're so smart. They think they got it all figured out. Oh, we'll figure. God figured it all out. And then he gave you your brain, and you like a fool sit there and think that you're figuring it out. You don't know nothing. Hallelujah. You don't know nothing. Praise the Lord. God knows everything, and if you consult with him, he'll show you everything. Amen. I'm not saying science is wrong. Science is good. Science always proves the Bible. I love that it does. And then they try to figure out another way for it not to, but it always comes back to proving the Bible. Isn't that funny? Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Where was I going with all that? Oh, God didn't need you, but he came like you. Jesus became like you, laid down his Godhead and became like you and me. He came here to live like you and me. He's God. He has angels at his disposal. Jesus knew that if he said the word, a legion of angels would show up and carry him off, and the world would burn in hell. He knew that, but he gave. He gave. But there was a purpose, because the scripture tells us it's more blessed to give than to receive. Why is that? Amen? Now, of course, we use that scripture, and rightfully so. That scripture is written in context of money. But that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about giving of ourselves. Amen? He didn't take what was his. He gave. He gave one child. He sacrificed one child. I would not, you know, my precious girl sitting here 10 years old today. Hallelujah. I wouldn't give one hair off her head for any one of you. Not one hair. I wouldn't clip one of her fingernails too short to save your life. And if you think I'm joking, I'm not. Why? Because she's my world. My boys are the same way. My world. God gave his entire son. His entire son for all of us. He gave him for all of us. But see, he knew something that we don't often understand. That by giving his son, he was going to gain billions of sons and daughters. He gave one. He sacrificed one. But he gained by doing. It's more blessed to give than to receive. God sacrificed for us. Do you understand that? He sacrificed the most precious thing he could ever sacrifice. So we would live and walk in what he has for us. And Christians spend most of their time questioning him. Do you understand that? Most Christians sit around most of the time questioning God. God, why are you in your divine providence or whatever done this? It's like, I didn't do that. The Bible tells you that Satan does that, and you're sitting here blaming on God. God doesn't cause death. People can't get over this. It can't get Christians to stop believing that garbage. The Bible tells us death is the last enemy. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us you can't be an enemy and a friend at the same time. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible tells us that the devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus came to give life and more abundant life. But Christians still believe that garbage. Why? Because they don't read their Bible. Because they believe what other Christians say, but they don't read their Bible. Praise the Lord. I got to break the stinking thinking out of me all the time, too. All the time I got, because it rears its ugly head back up. You want to think, well, something bad happens. Well, God, why you start getting, because humans are kind of, what's the word? They're superstitious. Which is by nature. We seem to be kind of superstitious, right? Yeah. You ever seen anybody rubbing a cross or shaking their beads or whatever they do with them things? Hallelujah. And repeating the same thing over and over and over and over again because they can't believe God forbid God would do something different. God forbid, God, there's actually power in prayer. People say prayers like they do religious, if they chant this over and over, maybe if they're lucky enough, something will happen. That's how most people look at prayer. That's how most people pray. That isn't the prayer of the Bible. Right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm getting some. Oh, there it is. Hallelujah. Getting somewhere, but not very fast. Amen? Yeah. Not just giving of our finances, but of ourselves, a spiritual supply. He gave one child, but he gained billions. Turn with me to Luke 18. Praise God. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 18, verse 35. We're going to see something here. Luke 18, what did I say? 35 through 43. Hallelujah. Where are you? There you are. Then it happened as he was coming near Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Praise God. I'm going to stop there for a second. Some interesting things here. You know, people always have this picture of Jesus as this one just running up to everybody and putting out everybody's fire. But that's not the Jesus that we see in the Bible. Right. You notice the beggar, first of all, he didn't know what was going on because he was blind. But then when he asked what was going on, you know, you notice here that Jesus wasn't running over to him. Jesus certainly saw blind people. Actually, one scripture I was almost going to use today and decided not to go to just for time's sake, but it's in Matthew. It talks about a woman who came to Jesus trying to get help for her daughter, and Jesus said, I didn't come for the dogs. Jesus said that. Yeah. Oh, man, if I said something like that, dear Jesus, hallelujah, they'd start a paper in Mayville and then just to bash me for saying that. Hallelujah, I'd make national headlines. That's the truth. But Jesus said, I'm not here for the dogs. That's what he said. Jesus said, he called the woman a dog. Yeah. Jesus, you know that happy Jesus who runs around with blonde curly hair and blue eyes? You know the Swedish Jesus? You all know him, right? You know the ones that the Mormons like to talk about and stuff like that? You know what I'm talking about, the Swedish Jesus running around, you know, with lambs and little children all the time and happy and skipping and all that stuff and never doing anything. No, Jesus, he called a woman a dog. Yeah. He said, I didn't come for you, dog. Yeah. Yes, that's what Jesus said. I didn't come for you, dog. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I know that went over like a Led Zeppelin. Hallelujah. Glory, glory to God. Praise the Lord. But it's the truth. He didn't just walk up to everybody on the road. Jesus was here looking for something. Amen? Praise the Lord. I don't even know what scripture I was in. What scripture was it? 35. Thank you. Praise the Lord. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him, Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So he had to cry something out. Well, we see something here, we're about to see something here, that his first cry out had zero reaction on Jesus. Jesus kept walking. Hallelujah. He was still trucking. Jesus wasn't turning back. He was still going. The blind guy was on the side of the road saying, help me. Oh, man, hallelujah. The people that are Christ, half the time they won't even say, they don't even believe God enough to help them. But then they won't say anything about it. And then they wonder where God was. But we see principles here, amen? Praise the Lord. And he was crying out saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. And he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. He wasn't going to be stifled by anybody. They said, no, you got to be quiet, man. You can't, no, just shut up. You're causing a ruckus here. We don't want to hear it. You understand? This is Jesus here. You know what I mean? He ain't got time for you. You know what I'm, that's what they were saying. I'm breaking it down for you. And he cried out more. He said, oh, I know who this guy is, and I want to see. Do you see the connection here? I know who my God is, and I want what he came to give me. Hallelujah. What would happen if Christians start coming like that? How about you come to church, and you're just like, you know what? I know who my God is. I want what he gave me. I'm coming expecting it. How about coming to church now? Oh, I'm so tired. We've been so busy and been doing all this stuff. Yeah, see how much stuff you're going to receive from God. This is a blind man on the side of the road who's been there. And then Christians come in with their, they come into church with their, you know, with their privilege, right? Not, they come in with their Christian privilege. So I'm a Christian. I'm going to come into church, but I'm tired and I'm, you know, been busy and all this stuff. How about coming in hungry for God? Yeah. The Bible says the hungry and thirsty will be filled, not the ones who come in all thinking about something else. Oh, I can't wait to get home and get lunch. Can't wait to get home and watch that football game. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Sunday, you know, football game's on. We've got this player, person playing this person and all this stuff. Yeah, Christians are always on, their minds are always somewhere else. They wonder why they don't have the power of God. If your mind is somewhere else all the time, you're not going to have the power of God. See, and this is why the world doesn't see it. And they think we're foolish. They say, well, a church like ours that preaches about this stuff, they're like, how is that any of that true? We don't see it. We don't see that because people aren't hungering enough for it. They're not saying, I'm not willing to come to church and leave without. I'm going to come to church and I'm going to receive, hallelujah, and I'm going to bring something for other people to receive. Because you know something? I'm not okay with going to church as usual. I don't want to go to the funeral home. There's plenty of funeral homes. You can pop in anytime you want. You ain't even got to have an invitation to go there. Shoot, they won't even ask you for an offering. You just show up. Say, yeah, I knew the guy. I knew him. Just show up and go. You don't need to. If you want a funeral, go to a funeral home. But if you want church, hallelujah, if you want the power of God, then you come to church expected. You come to, you say, I want what God has for me. You know what's funny about this? Only in our society. This book covers all of human history. And in it we see through this book, not thoroughly, obviously, there's a lot of aspects of human history that have been left out, but it's all that we need to know and we need to understand. But all through this book, God was active. From Genesis all the way up to Revelation, God was active through the whole book. Is there anyone that can deny that? Is it just a book of stories about how God did this and God did that? God changed this and God changed that. The people had fallen here and God lifted them up over here. Isn't that what this is all about? But for some reason, the church today has this thought that God doesn't do things anymore like he did then. Oh, so this is the only time. So we've been given every opportunity. He's been giving us everything that he could possibly get. I want to stand on this. Can I stand on this without break? I might rip my pants. Hallelujah. I don't know. I can't jump up. I can't jump up there safely. Maybe I'll jump up. This is the only time in human history where people of the Bible, God's people, actually think God doesn't do anything. They're like, they pray prayers, but they don't really believe God will ever answer them. How about praying a prayer and knowing God answers it? Because that's what our God does. Our God is a prayer-answering, faith-moving God. Hallelujah. We are told through the Bible he is moved by faith and only by faith and nothing else. So you sitting there crying is not going to get it done. Only when you come to God in faith. Only when you come to God expecting. Only when you are unwilling to leave without is when you're going to walk away with what God has for you. Hallelujah. Only. Why? Because God was always seeking the same thing from people, and that was their faith. He wants their faith, and he's unwilling to do without it. So much so, he will let you go to the grave without it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. God wants change in our lives. And he gave it to us by his son. Praise God. Hallelujah. Man, hallelujah. I even got through the introduction now. I'm already sweating. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Where was I? 39? I read 39. So Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" You don't think Jesus knew? Think about that. He says to the guy, Jesus is the healer. The guy is crying out on the side of the road. Everybody knows the man is blind. You don't think that Jesus knew? He wants him to say it. "What do you want me to do for you?" he said. "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." Do you know how many times that Jesus' healing was also accompanied by "your faith has done this"? And yet people look at our church, you preach about that faith stuff. Hebrews 11:6, faith is what pleases God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Amen? And then Jesus said almost every single time that he healed somebody, "Your faith has made you well." He didn't heal every blind person he walked by. How do we know that? Because he was going to walk right by this dude too. Yeah, he was going to walk right. He was going to walk right on by. What? He could only respond to faith. God can only ever respond to faith. Why? Because that's the way he made us. That's the way he made the earth to work. Amen? Praise the Lord. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, look at this, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. So he left glorifying God. He didn't just walk out the door and say, "All right, I got what I needed from God, see ya." How many people do that? I see it over and over. I've seen it ever since I've been faithful in church. Over and over and over again, people come in, they get what they want from God, and then they're gone. They're gone. They're like, at first it's like so important to be there because their life was falling apart without it. Then all of a sudden God blesses them and then they split. They're like, "See ya." They give up on God. Well, I don't. There's something more for you to do. Why? Because when you start glorifying God, people are going to see it and then they're going to give praise to God. Why? Because when you're healed of something and you take that to the world, other people are going to see, they're going to be like, "Hey, wait a minute. I want that." When you're set free from something, other people that are broken and are bound, they're going to see that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There was a time in my life that you couldn't keep me out of a counselor's office. You couldn't keep me out of a psychiatrist's office. Sometimes you couldn't keep me out of the mental hospital. There was a time in my life I couldn't keep a gun out of my mouth. There was a time in my life that I couldn't keep a rope off my neck. There was a time in life where I couldn't keep myself from dragging knives and stuff across my skin. Do you understand what it is? Like, that doesn't just go away. That doesn't just happen to fall away. It was the power of God that changed it. The power of God. There was a time in my life when I was addicted to substances. Because God. Because I connected with God and I was not willing to let it go. I was not willing to say, "You know what? See, this is the thing. When people don't connect, they go right back to where they were. And actually, the Bible says the worst thing will come upon you. Praise the Lord. Jesus was a conductor for the power of God as a man. He came to live as a man to show us how to live and show us how to do it. He was a conductor of the power of God as a man. Notice the chain reaction of one person being affected and staying sincere. Praise the Lord. One person gets affected and stays sincere, and then many people start praising God. Amen? I want to use an example. I hope you don't mind, Brother Michael, but I'm going to use you as an example because this is a great example of something that just happened. Tuesday night, we decided to have a prayer night. We came to pray. Amen? That was the purpose of being here. And we're going to start doing this more regularly. Actually, we might make it a twice-monthly service is what we're thinking. Amen? On Tuesday nights. But, you know, we come together and we start praying. I had a message. Actually, I had some things that I needed to share, and so we did that, and then we started getting into prayer, and in my spirit, all of a sudden, I started noticing as we were praying, I got Michael was sitting back there about the third seat. You know, Michael over here, you just raise your hands, everybody say hi to Michael. Everybody say hi, Michael. Praise the Lord. And then, like, embarrassing somebody that's newer, hallelujah, but you've been coming for a little while, so you're good. Everybody knows Michael. Praise God. But he come in here, and I just kept getting drawn to him. And I knew that he was getting filled with the Holy Spirit right there in the seat. I knew it. And so I was led to have him come up and lay hands on him and say some things over him. And I did. And as soon as Michael came up, and he was very ready to receive, we'll just say that. It was all over him. Praise the Lord. That's why he was receiving in his seat. But as soon as he came up, something broke in here, and a chain reaction happened. And to make a long story short, everybody giggled a lot. And then by the time it was done, I'm not kidding you, I was literally carried out of the church. I was carried out of the church. You remember that? I remember seeing you as I went by, praise the Lord. And I had to be driven home, praise God, hallelujah. See, I don't know about all that stuff. Well, yeah, don't know about it. But somebody in here is going to get stirred by that. And somebody else is going to say, hey, I want some of that too. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, everybody got some that night. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Why do I bring that up? Why did I bring Michael up? Because what I recognized in Michael was he came expecting something. Yeah. He came with more than just, I just want to be there. I want more of God. You see what I mean? And because of that, it opened the door, the floodgate for things to flow and things to get knocked off people. Praise the Lord. And if you were there that night, you had things knocked on, off of you, whether you believe it or not. Yeah. I'm going to remind you about this. If you have something knocked off of you and you start building it back up, guess what? The power of God is not going to, it's going to be useless to you. If you keep building up what God knocks off you, well, then you're going to keep having the same problems you always had. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's good. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:16 says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Every joint supplies. You're a joint in the body, and you supply something. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And in case you didn't know, I need to say this now because I just kind of picked this up in my spirit. The Lord had me preach this message today. Praise God. Just saying that. So if you're bothered by something, if something's good, God had me preach this. He knew that you'd be here. He knew who's going to be here from the start. Praise God. And he knew what you wanted to hear. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's free, no charge. The effective working by which every part does its share causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Praise God. Hallelujah. God has brought you here to break things off of your life, but he's brought you here to connect, to get hold of something, to say, wait a minute, there's more to my life than just me, 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 me. But a lot of people, you can always tell the people that are me, 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 are the ones that are always doing it for them. Yeah, absolutely. If your life is lived for you, you'll know it by what you're doing. So look at what you're doing. It's either for you or it's for God. It's for somebody else. But you can tell where your life is lived by what you do. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's what you really... You show what you love by what you are willing to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Every joint supplies. We are all joints. We're all part of the body, and we all have something to supply. Amen. Turn with me to John 5 and verse 1. Praise God. John 5 and 1. Hallelujah. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and the Jews went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. Okay? Yeah. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Praise God. So first thing we see, what do we notice about all these seeds? It said there's a multitude of people there, right? When the Bible says a multitude, it means a great number of people. It's not like three or four. We're talking the place was packed, amen? So this place around this pool, because it got this people started understanding that when an angel came down and stirred the water, they didn't see the angel, but they'd see the moving of the water, that the first person in would get healed. And so what would people do? They wanted their healing, right? It was people that wanted to get healed. They wanted to change, right? They were tired of dealing with it, so they were like, I want to get there. And they waited there. They didn't leave. Why didn't they leave? Because they might miss the stirring of the water. So they pressed in. Amen? Praise God. Now, what's interesting is some people will say, like, you know, some people will be like, well, that's kind of cruel of God to just do that once in a while. Why didn't he just heal all of them? Because God didn't want the pool to become a thing. You see, this is what we have to understand about God. He wants our thing to be him. And so he was showing them, he's giving them example of, this is what I am. I am a healing God. This is what I want to do. This is what my desire is. Hallelujah. But I want you to seek me for it, not the pool. I don't want the pool. See, because that's what Christians always do, or people always do. They make, remember I said, when a thing becomes a thing, people make it the thing. Right? When something becomes important to you, that's the thing, you know, whether it's your lucky rabbit's foot cross, or whether it's your beads that you dangle from whatever, or your saints that you put on your dash, I don't care what it is. People always make the thing a thing, and they always forget that it was God who gave the power anyways. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. So Jesus was here, right? When Jesus, now there was a certain man there who had an infirmity 38 years. I don't know if he'd been laying there for 38 years, but he'd been laying there a while, right? When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been in that condition a long time. Now, this is what's interesting here. The place was packed with sick people. Jesus was there. Did he go around and heal all those people? No, he didn't. He looked for, but something caught his eye, didn't it? Amen. Actually, when we see later on, I can't remember what book it's in, but you could look it up by some of my words and find it in Google or something. But they were talking, I think it was Peter, they were coming, I think it was Peter they were coming before, and they said, it was either Peter or Paul, and he said, perceiving they had faith enough to be healed, they went, are you going to find that scripture for me? She's going to find it for me, because, yeah, she's going to look for it. Praise the Lord. Perceiving they had faith enough to be healed. What's that stuff? You see, we got to understand, we got to take the Bible in context. We have to read the Bible and understand the Bible before it's going to ever be good for us and understandable to us. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he'd already been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? Of course he wanted to. He was there. Again, Jesus wanted his faith. Where's your faith at? The sick man answered him, said, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. This, oh, glory. This is a great example of the church. Well, I want mine first. Well, get me mine first. Get me what I want first. Well, I know these other people, but no, let me have it first. That's what we've made our society into and our churches into. Everybody is about me first, me first. Praise the Lord. When you go to the barbecue, instead of going to church, you just pick me first. Hallelujah. Why? Because there's somebody there that needed your faith. There's somebody there that needed you to come full. And not full of, because you were out at the bar all night before. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's so many Christians. There's this whole movement of Christians. My wife said an awesome thing last night when she was talking. She's like, I don't want a church to make me comfortable in the nightclub. Is that what you said, basically? More or less? In other words, they want the church to look like a nightclub to make me feel comfortable. You know what I'm saying? The church is supposed to resemble something different than the world, and yet everybody's trying to bring the world into the church. Yeah, why a church is dying? Because they either don't have the Spirit of God, they don't preach the Word, or they're trying to be the world. Yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. What's that? Acts 14:9. Go ahead. Can you flip to it for me, and I'll go there. Praise God. I don't even know where I was. We were reading about Jesus. Okay. The water is stirred, but I am coming down, and another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. But you know, it did take faith to even do that, because the guy he's sitting there, he can't walk. If somebody comes up to somebody who can't walk and say, and I've seen this stuff before too, go up to somebody who can't walk and say, rise, get up and walk, you're healed. It takes faith to get up and say, okay, I can do that now, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. Find it? I want to share this with you. Praise the Lord. Acts 14, verse 8. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speak. It was Paul. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said in a loud voice, stand up, straight on your feet, and he leapt and walked. Perceiving he had faith to be healed. Why do we teach faith? Because it takes faith to receive from God. How do we know that? Well, how many churches are receiving the power of God? Go around. Just go around. Do you hear about this stuff happening in every single corner of every church all over the place? How do we? It obviously isn't automatic. Sooner or later, people got to say something. See, people got to look at something and say, either God's not working or I'm doing something wrong. Right? When you go through it enough, when you go through the trial enough, you're going to say, either God's not doing something or I'm not doing something. And I'm going to guess that it probably isn't God's lack of doing something. It's probably somewhere I'm missing it. Amen? Hallelujah. Because God doesn't withhold. See, people have made God into this withholding God who just kind of, he plays a puppet master and he just kind of does things as he wills. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, that ain't a God I want to serve. In fact, I'm going to get real bold. I don't even want to think about serving a God like that. I don't want to give one dime to a God who stands in heaven and plays puppet master with our lives. Why? Because that ain't a loving God. That's a cruel God. That's an evil God. That's what the devil does. And yet people have put that on God and said it's God. God just whispering life away early. Praise the Lord. That's the way people say it. Yeah, people think that all the time. Well, God in his divine providence needed your baby because he needed another angel in heaven. You know how many stupid religious people have told mothers that are grieving this and then wonder why those mothers don't want to serve that God? I wouldn't want to either. It's cruel and it's disgusting and it's not our God. Jesus did not die so your baby wouldn't make it to its full length of life. The Bible tells us that he gives us long life. He satisfies us. It's the devil that removes it. So stop blaming God for things the devil's doing and start putting the blame where it's due. Amen. Hallelujah. This is why so many people look at our faith and think it's absolutely ridiculous, because Christians are constantly going around living like the devil. And then they have the devil in their lives, and then they put it off on God like it's his fault. And then everybody thinks our God is a joke. Jesus died so people could sit in bars. Jesus died so people could sit out there and not ever get really connected to what God's doing. Listen, there are people every single second. This came on me while I was just in vacation. Every single second, there is another person who goes to hell. Another person who is going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Gnashing of teeth, the Bible says. The Bible says the worm never dies. They're in absolute torment because God isn't there. You're okay with that? How important is that barbecue now? How important is that just casual Christianity now? Laying it down now. Why do you think I got serious about God? Because I saw God was a serious being. I saw a church was something to behold and something to have reverential fear of. Not to walk down the street and just think, oh, there's another. Praise the Lord. Jesus died so that we could help people. And most Christians sit around in their misery all the time, never even mustering. Listen, I know sometimes life is hard. I know sometimes it's not easy. And that's okay. Jesus told us it wasn't, but he also gave us a way out of that. But if you're going to sit around crying about how hard it is all the time, then you're never going to help somebody. And that's what God wants us to do. Come to church and bring your supply. It is not about you. It is not about you, because you will stand before Jesus, and I'm sure you will see the pictures of people who are not in heaven, because you, it was more important for you to have that beer. It was more important for you to have that wrong relationship. It was more important for you to not serve God. There will be people eternally lost because of what you won't do. The power of God is meant to flow in his churches. It should be so thick in here. When people walk in, they know that's God. That's God. It's got to be God. But people don't live in that. Listen, this message is called Stir It Up, right? It's meant to stir you. It's meant to stir us in that direction. Now, listen, you don't have to be sad about, oh, Pastor yelled at me again. I'm just going to quit going to that church because he's so bold and he says things that I don't like to hear. And don't you know I'm American and I have a right to vote? Don't you know I have a say in this? Praise the Lord. That's how people think. That's what, for God's sakes, when did God ever lead a group of people by vote? Never. Jesus, if I'm saying Jesus, hallelujah. If the Israelites had a vote, none of them would ever have made it into the promised land. As it was, they were delayed because most of them were like, we can't do it. Let's have a vote. Let's have a vote. They even said that. They said, well, let's pick ourselves another leader. One that ain't going to take us somewhere bold. Well, praise the Lord. If you can't handle boldness, go somewhere else. I'm sure there's lots of places that'll patty cake. Yeah. I'm sure there's lots of places that'll pat you on the back and say, oh, you're doing a great job. My job is not to tell you you're doing a great job. The Bible tells me my job is to show people in what ways their lives are wrong and to be an example to people in word and doctrine. I try my darndest, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then every time I tell people they're wrong, I get beat up by it. The devil come on me. You don't think, oh man, preach a message, a bold message like this, and you go home, you don't think I sit there thinking about everybody I just lost? Yeah, because it matters to me what we do. I don't want to make that mistake. I don't want to make the mistake of preaching something wrong and lose half the church. But at the same time, I don't want to stand before Jesus and say, I patty caked them all, Jesus. And he said, congratulations, you built a church that never did anything. I don't want that. I want the power of God to flow. And on top of all that, it's fun. Yeah. It might not look like it here, but it certainly was Tuesday night. Praise the Lord. I couldn't stop laughing. You ever have Holy Ghost laughter come on you? You know what Holy Ghost laughter is? You can't stop. You can't stop. You just laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. You lay on the floor and you laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. You look at somebody else, you're laughing and laughing, and they start laughing and laughing. That's what the Holy Ghost wants to do. He wants joy. You remember joy, rejoice. Hey, we were talking about joy last week. Rejoice again, I say rejoice. Laugh, 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 laugh. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Laugh like your fool head off. Hallelujah. Oh, people think you're drunk. Remember when the day of Pentecost, he said that these people aren't drunk as you suppose. They thought they were drunk because the way they were acting when the Holy Ghost came on them. Because they looked drunk. Listen, the devil is a perverter of every single thing that God does. So why are you surprised? Why do you think gay marriage is one of the biggest things, one of the biggest attacks out there right now? Because marriage is one of the biggest covenants to God. So that is why. It's just you can just look at it. What's happening in the world? What's happening in the church? Where does the devil attack? Praise the Lord. Do you know this world has even, this is great. I'm going to use this example. This country, the people of this country, all the left-wing nuts, hallelujah, praise the Lord, they have sided with Muslims. Do you understand that? Like, I'm going to tell you something. Muslims, Islam is one of the most evil religions in the entire world. They actively kill homosexuals. They actively circumcise women. Look up what that is. Kids don't, but look up what that is, how horrific that is. They actively do these things. They actively stone women. They actively are doing these things. But Christians aren't doing this stuff yet. Christians are the evil ones. And everybody's trying to make it like race, right? Make it about race. Why? Because the devil will stir it up anywhere he can. And just like a bunch of baby birdies, Hallelujah, and Caleb and I, we were just in California, and we saw these, I don't know what kind of birds they were, but they were hungry. They were sitting on the cliffs, and they were hungry, and their mamas came up to them. They're like, and the little baby birdies, yeah. That's, you know, that's what a lot of people are doing in America now. Yeah, they're eating other people's puke. Yeah, people are puking up all this garbage. They're like, give me more. Give me more. Praise the Lord. I'll feed myself, thank you. But it's what people do, isn't it? It is terrible. That was a bad example. Is that what you're saying? Oh. I thought she was just like, amen, brother. That was terrible. That was terrible. That was horror. Don't. Oh goodness. Whew. Praise the Lord. Praise God. But it's the truth. People are doing it. They're swallowing it like quick. You can't get enough of it. It's like candy to them. Islam. Like, do you realize that all the major, like, war stuff in the Middle East, that's all based out of Islam? Really is what that's all about. You realize that, right? The Muslims are the ones that are, and there's none of it that's good. Just so you know. Yeah, praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, how do you get me? I can't even get through this message. The people who wanted their help from Jesus, they pressed in. If you don't come to church because you don't feel well, oh, this is something I wanted to say too, yeah. If you, listen, I understand not coming to church because you're contagious. If you're contagious, don't come. We don't need to use our faith. You know what I mean? Like, listen, if you're pretty sure you can spread something to somebody, then don't come. Take the day off. But you know, sometimes people just like, they're just not feeling well and they just won't come. That's where your help is. Do you know the power of God should be, if it's drawn on correctly, people will come into church and they won't feel well and they'll be broken off of it. You may have a headache, it'll be broken off of you. You say, I don't know about you, Pastor Joe. You preaching like that, I don't know if I can get without a headache. I might even make my headache worse. Praise the Lord. The Bible says it's the anointing that breaks the yoke, and the anointing is when we come together. That's the most important. This came to me while I was actually resting. I was laying down the other day. I just heard in my spirit this. People are seeking their plans and ask God to fit in when they should seek his plan and find where they fit in. Yep, I'll say that again. People are seeking their plans and asking God to fit in when they should seek his plan and find where they do. Where do I fit into your plan, God? You know, Jeremiah 29:11, we all get excited about that. We should. We have it on the wall because we want people to get excited about it. We tell people about it every week because we want people to get excited about it. But you know, Jeremiah 29:11 doesn't just mean that you get to have it your own way. It means this is the plan that works. It was created for you and there's blessing that's attached to it. And it's a wonderful plan, but unless you walk in it, you'll never see it. You know, and that's what we're trying to do with people. We're trying to show them here, praise God. Oh, I can go through this next one real quick. Mark 6:1. You don't think I can, but I can. I'm promising you. We're almost done. We're fixing to close here. Mark 6:1. Matthew, Mark. John's too far. Mark 6:1. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mark 6:1. You know these scriptures. We've been to them before, but we're going to them again. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Verse 3, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. That word offended in the Greek means to cause a person to begin to distrust and desert one whom he ought to trust and obey. This happens all the time. Isn't it? The pastor's just another guy. Listen, I'm not trying to build my ministry or build me up or anything like that because I understand full well that it isn't me. But when we receive that like that, then that's what we're going to receive from that. We start getting offended. Jesus couldn't do anything mighty. Because what happens is people won't, when you just look at the anointing, when the pastor's preaching a message and you're just like, listen, I didn't cause everybody to come into the church. People chose whether or not to come in, and then people choose whether or not to stay. But the message that I preach, if you don't believe that I'm preaching from as the oracles of God, what he has for this group of people or body of believers, then by all means, leave. I don't want you here. I mean, there's some people get mad at that, but I'm going to just be honest with you. I don't want you here. Because all you're going to do is detract from those because you're not coming bringing your supply. See, the other night, if Michael came in here and he just sat in this in that prayer service and just thought, well, I don't believe any of that stuff anyways. Well, he's seeking God. But you see, people understand that God always has done things through humans. And so there has to be a level of trust. And I understand that sometimes we have to step out. Listen, by the time I got to family churches, I didn't want to trust my pastor because I didn't want to trust any man of God, woman of God, or whatever. That didn't mean anything to me. But that's the way people are, amen? They start to, because they'll listen to thoughts of the devil. They'll start distrusting. They'll say, well, pastor said that, but I don't like that. Well, too bad. If it's scriptural, it's going to help you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Or if it's based in scripture. Amen? Praise God. Verse 4, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. It means those who are, I'm going to tell you, I got family members that can't receive from me because they won't look at me, they won't receive me as pastor. They think of me as that knucklehead that they grew up with. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And it's the truth. That's just the way that it is. People won't receive, and they can't receive. Praise the Lord. Now he could do no mighty work there except he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Why could he do no mighty work there? Because of their unbelief. Why could Jesus do no mighty work there? Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, the God who healed people, the God who did all these mighty miracles, walked on water, that Jesus was in his hometown, but because they wouldn't receive him, because they wouldn't accept it, because they didn't, you understand. Why are we using this? Because it's important to understand that if we come with the wrong heart, we won't receive from God. If we come with the wrong attitude, we won't receive from God. If we come with the wrong mindset, we will not receive from God. Nazareth, this was in the Dake Study Bible, and I thought this was really interesting. Nazareth saw more of the Lord than any other place on earth, yet it profited less than all of them. It saw more of him, but profited less. Jesus was there more, but they got less out of him. It tells us something, doesn't it? How do we come to church? Do we come expecting? Do we come, when we say come expecting, we're not just saying, well, expecting what? Expect God. I expect God who created heaven and earth, that sent his son, that raised his son from the dead, who had power to make his son walk on water. I expect that God to show up today at church. Or do you go out of church expecting that you're going to hear some cute poem? You might hear a few songs, a few traditional songs, because that's what you want to hear. God forbid you open your mouth and praise God in church. But we're going to hear a few things that we want to hear. We'll get our church done in a half hour. Then we can go leave, did our God duty for the week, and then we can go home and watch a football game. That's how most people go to church. Most people are not coming to church expecting God to move. How do I know? I'm going to just be honest with you. If you come into church and everything that you're like talking about and you're stirred about is about natural stuff. What's going on here? What's going on here? This and that, this and that, this and that. You're not ready for church. Yo, we learned this a long time ago. We used to have friends over, have fellowship to 3 a.m. on Saturday nights, come to church, and then we'd be like this. You know something? If you fall asleep, I'm going to tell you something. You take away from the service. Yeah, absolutely. And somebody might miss what they have because you couldn't stay. Oh, once in a while, I understand. Like somebody's worked something or whatever. But listen, I've had people tell me. They're like, people really could sleep in your church? I said, yeah. They can sleep. I can hoot and holler. It doesn't matter. People would be out like a light bulb. Yeah, absolutely. You don't think I see all your faces too. Praise the Lord. We just had a meeting with the sound people and the worship team and stuff. I was like, just because you're up in the sound booth don't mean I can see everybody up there. I can see if you're not paying attention to me. I can see if you're distracted or on something else. Hallelujah. Yeah, I can see people. I know when people aren't paying attention to me. I know when you're interested in how many nails are in the ceiling or how crooked that beam is. Praise the Lord. I can tell. How can I tell? Because you ain't looking at me. I'm looking at you. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why I say to people, don't scowl in church. I know if you're not receiving it well. I know. I can tell when people don't like it. If you don't want me to know that you are like hating my guts at the moment, smile at me. Talk to your wife or your husband or somebody else when you get home, but smile during the service. Otherwise, you look like a fool. I'm just telling you, it looks bad. Christian, you're preaching about joy and people are like, that happens. That does. Praise God. Don't make me tap into my inner prissy side here. Just because we toned down the beard doesn't mean that I'm not willing to be a man anymore. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Receive from the Lord. Come expecting. Get what God has for us. We're going to close with Hebrews 10:24. Just look at it up here. Praise the Lord. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Stir up love and good works. We want to stir these things up. Listen, I've talked about the power of God a little bit today because I want people to start desiring it. I want somebody to say, you know what? I'm not willing to go without it. It might take a little bit of time because we're going to catch people up. Do you know the Azusa Street Revival, real great revival in the early 1900s where people saw amazing miracles? We likely haven't seen as many great miracles since that time period. But that was prayed for and sought for by people for 4 years. People who just were like, we just want more of God, and they just prayed for the move of God, the outpouring of God. Listen, just start a little bit. You don't even have to start a lot. Say, well, a lot's a lot for me. We'll just start a little. Do you want something better in your life? Do you want to see a place where people can come into and just instantly get healed? Because that power is still available on the earth today. There's no place in Scripture you'll ever find that God says he dissipated that power. In fact, we see that the greatest revival is supposed to happen in the end days. Guess what, brothers and sisters? You are in the end days. Praise the Lord. And at the very least, if you don't believe that, you're more ender that now than they were then. Amen? Yeah. You're closer to the end now. Amen? So stir it up. Get hungry for the things. Don't get mad. Just get glad. Hallelujah. Don't get mad. Get glad. Stir up the things of God in you. Stir up that desire. Just say even a little bit. If you just like, you know what, Lord, I just want more of you, and I want to put this in practice. Lord, go before God and say, Lord, I don't know quite how to do this by myself, but you know something? I know that you'll help me. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. See, just go to God in faith. Amen. Yeah.